this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Big win on the road at St. Mary's. Southampton on the south coast, sir. United 3. Southampton 2. El Matador Cavani with the brace. Him and Bruno linking up looking magnifique indeed, sir. How you feeling?
Dude, I'm absolutely buzzing. What a win. What a way to do it, dude. I'll tell you what, this morning, Roy Keane, it's hard on your health to be a United fan. This morning, the first half, sir, salt, extra salty first half, sir. We were pissed off, and you said it. It's on the manager to get him to come out second half, and boy, did we come out. It didn't look like we were going to put our chances to bed. I think Rashford missed one right away. But Cavani, number 7, and jumping into that jersey, sir. Are you going to rue the day that you slated Cavani, the Cavani signing on the pod?
Hey, I'm the first to admit when a guy is wrong, and I was wrong. He looks a player. Is not Falcao, my man. Not Falcao. He's not Alexis Sanchez. He is Edinson Cavani. Don't forget that N, my man. And he's a big-time player and looks to be exactly the type of personality we need right now. He's a goal scorer. He's a playmaker. And he also has that grind that Bruno has. He's kind of raising the play around everybody around him. So I like what I'm seeing. And that was a huge win. And it's all about getting on a run, sir. We need a nice run to run into December.
And a big halftime change from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That can't go, you have to say it. Ole got it right. The halftime sub, Cavani, Hendo. I mean, we get to De Gea as well. But, you know, that move changed the entire game. And like you said, Cavani is a player. We saw the work rate before, but now we're seeing how is he, dude, the assist to Bruno, the headers, the crosses coming in. No one's on the end of them. Now Cavani glancing headers in the box. Absolutely love it. And winning in Fergie time. Not a better way to do it, sir. We're jumping on the couch, hooting and hollering. My wife is like taking my son out of the room because we're making such a racket.
So welcome to the family, son. Jack, this is Manchester United life, baby. This is what it's all about. Edinson Cavani just looking like Ibrahimovic in the air, bro. Just like a killer, and knows that when his team needs him and it's on the line, he's going to go get that goal. He could have had a hat trick of headers, and he just looked like he was all over the pitch. And shout out to Ole, because Greenwood, he should have scored in the first half. The fact that he didn't.
Twice.
He should have scored and then assisted. He knew that he wasn't having a good game. Pulls him, brings on the big time, you know, Cavani, who's ready to go, and it was the right change. Dude, against a hard team. See, that was like a hard, hard result. A huge 3 points. Kicking on to PSG.
No, and I think Keane even said it at halftime. He's like, United had their chances.
They did.
We really had our chances in the first half, and those goals were howlers. Howlers from De Gea, not punching on the corner, and then the free kick again got beat that same way. Soft hands to it behind the ball. You knew where it was going. Ward-Prowse all day, and still goes in the net, and then to come out and be able to turn that around away on the South Coast. I know there's no fans. But, you know, that locker room, what Ole's got going now, we need to seriously kick on, sir. This is when I'm not, it might be at the wheel. I don't know. But that win, you know, if we end up climbing up the table, everyone's going to point it out. Southampton, comeback, away win. Now it feels like we've got the mojo on our side.
Sir, we are climbing up the table. I don't know if you've taken a look. I know it's not Christmas. We're not allowed to look yet, but I certainly have been looking. And ever since that Arsenal win, we've gotten some, you know, they haven't all been pretty, but we've been, you know, winning in the league since then, and they've all been important wins. West Brom, oh my God, that could have been bad. And this one, too. We came back and beat a very solid Southampton team. I know everybody else who's not a Manchester United fan will be giving Manchester United and Ole and Bruno and co. no credit, but this was a good team we beat, and it's an important 3 points, and we have to just use this and build on from there and just like stomp PSG and put a stranglehold on the Champions League group.
No, and it was, but like you say, credit to Ole, because when Hendo came in, we looked much assured, much better.
Much better.
Hey, look, sometimes the goalie is not his day. I love De Gea. Maybe it wasn't his day-to-day. Maybe he got injured. I'm not sure. TBD. We haven't got to the manager's post-game presser. We will later. But, you know, after bringing in Hendo, fixed that problem. The back line looked great, right?
It did.
Maguire, Lindelof looked great. Fred was doing well in the midfield. Donnie, silky Donnie. And it was only a matter of time until Bruno and co. unlocked Southampton. They had a few close chances, though, off the post. Sir, I mean, Southampton did get into dangerous areas. They are a good team. Well-coached.
They're a well-coached team, and they play very well as a team. Like, I know that sounds cliche, but it's true. They play as an 11. They defend well, and when they get the ball, they attack with numbers, and they pour forward. So United played well. I agree. It's like, Dea just had one of those days. The first goal he let in, should have punched it, and as soon as that happened, his confidence was shot. Then he like injured himself in the second goal. And it was the right move. You bring in Dino. He looked like revved up, ready to play. And I think that was the edge. I mean, obviously, the edge was Cavani and probably Dino, the two. But bringing those players on who were ready to make a difference from the go.
He's more confident on the ball.
He was Dino's, better passer.
And he also has that like serious boot up the pitch when we need it. De Gea, he's kind of, you know, that decision-making when he's on the ball is kind of a little nervy. But, you know, Dino, I'm not saying anything negative about De Gea here. Dino played well when he came on. He gave us an extra confidence in the back. And we went on to win in Fergie time from the Matador. You absolutely love it, sir. Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the pod, you can support us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedels. We're about to upload our exclusive Patreon member podcast for November. We do one every single month. We also post what we have planned for the podcast coming forward. Exclusive content for our Patreon members. Obviously, you get the regular podcast for free, sir, for fans by fans. That's how we do it. But Patreon's a great way for you to support us. You can sign up for anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. And it goes a long way to keeping the lights on here at the bunker. We have a website. We got to keep live the hosting costs for the pod. So appreciate all of our Patreon subscribers. If you can't part with some cold, hard-earned cash on Patreon, we have some merch on our store. Some people prefer that way. Buy a scarf, sir. We have some great 2020, the greatest of English football. We want all scarves. Also, an amazing blog with the best fan contributors you've ever seen, sir. Tell them about the blog.
Blog is absolutely ripping, and it's because, just like the pod, it's for fans, by fans, the network of contributors that we now have covering this great team from the first squad to the academy to the U23. We now have coverage on that as well. So shout out to all the contributors. If you want to contribute, we're always looking for new talent. Just reach out to us at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, and we will talk turkey. And also, another way you can support the pod, sir, is you can write a great, glowing 5-star review on iTunes. It's the best way for us to get found, and we are still doing a sticker giveaway with the brand new Stan Chow stickers. All you have to do is take a screenshot, sir, and email it at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your address, and we'll hook you up.
Sir, I got a great review here from iTunes from NaderGator303. Woo! Quote, other than John being an apologist for Paul Pogba, I love the pod. He makes up for it with very informative financial breakdowns of the club's financial position. The banter is always great, and the takes are hot. As an American Red Devil who became a fan around the same time as the Sirs, I appreciate when they dive into the club history. Completely agree with their takes on Glazers and Woodward, but sometimes they need to leave the dead horse alone, sir. We've been known to beat a dead horse on this podcast, and that's why we love the cheeky banner on the iTunes reviews. Drop 5 stars, drop a review. We'll give you a free sticker and subscribe to us on YouTube, sir. That is it. That is the PSA for the podcast. There's no ads here for fans by fans. Let's jump into it. Southampton 2, Manchester United 3, St. Mary's Stadium. Who are you? Premier League on the South Coast, sir. Absolutely love it. We woke up to the lineup. Dave stays role number one in net. Telles, Maguire, Lindelof, Wan-Bissaka back line. The diamond midfield, Matic in the hole. Van de Beek and Fred in the two. Bruno at number 10 and Rashford and Mason Greenwood up top. What did you make of this lineup? 4-1-2-1-2. Or the 4-2-2-2-2 or the 4-4-2. We saw a lot of changes when they were out on the pitch.
I mean, I think I called something similar to this, probably not quite right, but I liked it. You know, I think the double CDM with Matic, Fred made sense given all the attacking intent that Southampton often have. Bruno and Donnie having those two team up again made sense after how good they looked midweek. And then I liked Greenwood getting a run out. I think he's ready. He needs some time and he needs to get some goals in him. Just didn't go his way today.
Sir, I was not that pumped on this lineup. You know, I always am a lineup critic here. Ole, when he needed to play, we needed to go all in, he went conservative. And when he needed to go conservative, he goes all in. I think Southampton, you got to respect them. You got to play the 4-2-3-1. I wanted to see Cavani up top. I want to see Martial on the left. I want to see Rashford on the right. I want to see Fred Fred and probably McTominay or Modric, and then you put Bruno. Unfortunately, Danny's got to sit. I put Danny at PSG. I thought this was too aggressive, and in the first half, I think we saw Southampton was able to do some damage.
Well, they were, but we also didn't take our chances, right? We gave two shit goals, and we should have been up.
It was a gambling, 20. A gambling's man. I respect it, but I just thought Southampton are tricky this year, so this is like a real, it's a real cojones move, sir.
It is, but I respect that, and if anyone, the players let him down in the first half, right? Like, yeah, he should have gone out and scored. We should have gone out and took it to him, because I think they wanted to.
All right, let's jump in first half. United come out decent. Southampton playing their hyper press as expected, but you know, we were kind of pressing. They were pressing. It was really hot, sir. Someone was going to break. Someone was going to break down. 7th minute, golden opportunity for Mason Greenwood. He gets the ball with just the keeper to beat and takes one touch too many on his left. I couldn't believe he didn't hit this when he should have. This was a clear goal, and he had a brain fart, sir.
No, you can tell he's not informed, because fit and fire in Mason Greenwood, that's like easy peasy. He has no problem finishing that goal, especially getting around old McCartney, old Neve McCartney. So you could tell it's like he wasn't in great form, because he didn't necessarily like build into it after that.
And 16th minute, Bruno hits the post. He finds a pocket to space and rips a shot from outside the box that brushes the outside of the post. Again, creating the majority of chances here. United probably going to score, sir. We might score in the 23rd minute.
David De Gea, this is going to be whipped in across that 6-yard box.
And he comes from Ward-Prowse, and in he goes from Jan Bednarek. First blood to Southampton, a goal against the run of play. But it's that quality set-piece delivery from James Ward-Prowse, fundamental to Southampton's success yet again.
Well, you felt as though if the delivery was right, this was going to cause lots of problems for Man United. Brilliant ball in. All the Southampton players standing underneath David De Gea. And when James Ward-Prowse is on free kicks and corners, the delivery is normally exceptional.
I mean, this one was tough, sir. We talked about against the run of play. United looked at like they were going to score. Then they give up a corner. Great service, but De Gea's got to be braver there. It was soft. That was very soft from the Spaniard.
I've seen him concede that goal before. I almost feel like we've conceded that goal against Southampton, because not being in the near post and just putting a body in. He's shown that before. You know, sometimes he shies away from it, and that's been a vulnerable part of his play, right? Just like getting in the air, getting muscled out. When he joined, it was, and this, he has to do better. Has to do better.
Yeah, 27th minute, more pressure from Southampton. They hit the post. United look shook. Again, it's like time to wake up. You conceded a goal. They're hitting the post. United, this is the kind of hang your head. Uh-oh, 30th minute, United should be level. Another giveaway goes to Mason Greenwood. I think he selfishly took the shot, then was parried. I thought it was an open net for Bruno, but the keeper got to it. And you know, no goal for United. I couldn't believe this one. But if you watch the play, I think Mason was kind of rattled that he didn't score the first one. He should have given it to Rashford, who was wide open on his left, and he decides to take that shot. You know, this was kind of Mason on tilt in the first half.
No, you just knew it wasn't his day, because Mason did the first chance he would have scored, second chance he would have assisted, and we would have been, you know, 2-1 at that point. But instead, the game turned on his head, and it just had one of those feelings like it wasn't going to be our day.
Sir, we were already salty on the couch, up early, you know, chirping woke each other, and then we thought we were salty in the 33rd minute here.
Here's Ward-Prowse. He's brilliant. He's done it yet again. Few can rival his mastery from that kind of situation. David De Gea with a heavy collision with the post as he tried to keep it out. The target he had to aim at, so small. But James Ward-Prowse has magnificently doubled Southampton's lead.
Now the form that he's in, Jim, you fancy?
Look, we all knew where Ward-Prowse was going. De Gea in training all day. You got to be able to get there if it's going there. And two games this week, he's not been able to save that shot. And old De Gea, easy. What a cat-like reflexes. This is in his wheelhouse, De Gea's wheelhouse, saving that.
Well, especially because he conceded the same goal like 4 days ago against Istanbul, right? And then you know where Ward-Prowse is going. He's going near post. It's like that's the only place he's going to go. The wall didn't, you know, the wall did what the wall did, but De Gea's got to be there. You give up that goal, you know, it's kind of a thing that would make you sub your keeper at halftime, sir.
No, and the fact that he was behind it the whole way, you know, it's like De Gea's starting to save shots in his own net. Which was like against Istanbul, that was a very weird thing. Like he was kind of going behind it, and De Gea needs to be in front of it. Something's off. His calibration's off is where he's setting up. Like you said, it wasn't his day. I thought after this, he did make another save. After this, he went down again. It looked like there was something, an injury, maybe his knee. And, you know, that was the half, sir. You know, so De Gea injury, we're not sure. We'll get to the Ole's comments. But halftime, what did you think?
I'll tell you what, halftime, sir, I felt like Roy Keane felt, which is just that this team, it'll really wear you down.
All right. When Keane speaks, we listen. This is what he had to say at half.
Is that a fair reflection, Roy?
No, I don't think it is. I think United have had chances. Looking at United, certainly it's not good for your health watching United. they've given up one or two chances, gave a couple of bad goals away, given away daft free kicks. But there's goals here for them. But the problem, like we said before the game, you just don't know what you're going to get from this United team. We've heard Ollie before the game. We've heard De Gea saying it's about being consistent. They're not backing it up. Is that a fair...
Look, watching United, it's not good for your health watching United. That's going to be on the soundboard. That quote is an all-time one. And that 2-0 down going into half, sir, it wasn't good for my health watching Manchester United.
Sir, we could do some pods like recorded mid-game and how they change between being down, especially this season. We've come back quite a few games already. But we said it, we're like, it's about how the manager gets a response out of the boys. That's whether you decide whether Ole is the man for the job. Ole going with conviction, making the double sub at halftime. Dino and Cavani coming up for De Gea and Greenwood. That gave me some hope. Is like you're hooking your world-class goalkeeper. Maybe he's injured, maybe he's not, but that was certainly the move. And then bringing on Cavani, it wasn't Greenwood's day, so I like these subs.
Hey, newsflash, De Gea wasn't injured. He just got yanked.
Yeah.
And, you know, experience, sir. Ole's got the experience, and he knows when Greenwood's on tilt. Yep. You know, I could tell, like, Greenwood's not going to hit the broadside of a barn given the chance today. Like, something's going on with Greenwood where... You know, I hope he is able to kind of get it, play his way into form. But right now, that's why I thought this start for him was too much. When Cavani's playing well, I thought Cavani had to be starting. Obviously, you have Vestergaard, the unit at the back for Southampton. You knew Cavani was going to give him trouble, sir. That's what you said. He looked at it. He knew he got it wrong. Double sub at half. That's a big move when we only have three subs. Everyone's talking about these subs. This is a Fergie move. And boy, did it come at the right time, sir. United come out with intent. Ole seems to have provoked a response from the lads. 52nd minute, great chance for Rashford in one-on-one right off the keeper's chest, sir. You watched the replay. Rashford never picked his head up, never looked at the goalie, but he was offsides at the end of the day, I believe.
He was offside. I think you're right. But this is like, you know, what Rashford changed from his game when Ole came in. He got a little bit more measured in his finishing. He wouldn't just blast it. He learned how to pass it around a goalie. This should, you know, if he was onside, this should have been a goal if he just kind of took a little bit of a softer touch.
But you think of the two Greenwood chances in the first half.
It's got to be
this Rashford chance, and you're not scoring any of them. I mean, like, at this point, I tweeted out, watching United not score these great chances, it's bad for your health.
And it wasn't even like the keeper was having a day. The keeper was getting hit by the ball.
Sir, you could have been keeper. Look, we didn't have to wait long, sir. 59th minute, El Matador making the difference.
Who comes back and... conjunction with Vestergaard, puts the challenge in on Fred. Southampton can't get it back. Cavani has got Bruno Fernandes in, who halves the deficit to get Manchester United back in the game. Edison Cavani making a difference in this second half off the bench, and Fernandes showing his predatory instincts to get United on the board.
Well, Fred does. Bruno. Sir, it never gets old listening to the Bruno chant on the podcast. I mean, Cavani, we talked about it. First of all, Fred with a great tackle to win the ball back. And then Cavani, before he came to United, the one thing I saw in his highlight reel was he's got a pass. He's got a pass from wide. Great ball into Bruno. Those two linking up. Easy goal. United back in it.
No, great play from El Pastor to hold off two guys just like coming and clobbering over him, getting the ball to Cavani with a nice pass, finds Bruno, who is had his chances early in the game, doesn't screw up, and they both grab the ball, and it's all business. Right, there's no celebration. It's like, let's get back to it, boys. We got a lot of game left to play.
We got two more. We need to score. 69th minute, Cavani goes just wide with a nice header. He's starting to look good in the air, starting to find out where Cavani can be dangerous, and we don't have to wait much longer, sir. 74th minute.
It's now on 73.
Alex Telles with the delivery. Van de Beek was the target. McCarthy got there. Bruno Fernandes through a crowd of players. That is brilliant from Cavani. Edinson Cavani with the equalising goal. 2 in 13 minutes for Manchester United. Get themselves back on level terms. They've come from 2 down at Southampton again. And there's still plenty of time for either side to win it.
What a brilliant response. Keep an eye on Yannick Vestergaard, number 4. He's the player that's playing Cavani onside. Tries to get back into an area where he thinks he's helping the goalkeeper. And Cavani always lurking inside the 18-yard box in the right place at the right time. Again, his movement. He's always on the move. He's very, very sharp. He's not static. It's not fortunate how that
ball... What a goal. What a goal. What a way to be there. I mean, the deflected shot. Cavani just diving on it. Scrappy. Look what it means to the Uruguayan striker. I love everything about him at Manchester United.
Instant legend. I mean, Cavani, he's our player. He's our number 7. That is not a gimme goal. That is like a veteran poacher's goal, but knows exactly where to be. It's a deflected pass. He literally just like hops on the end of it. Dude, that is a nose for goal. That is what you. That's why you sign him, and that is why I eat my words, baby, because Cavani looks a player.
Sir, serving him up. Get him that Cavani zebra kit. All right, 79th minute, Southampton showing how dangerous they can be. Again, we had a lot of attacking intent. We were open at the back. Adams with a half chance in the box that goes just wide again. Close from Southampton. 84th minute, Williams on for Telles. Telles looked like a little groin pull. You thought maybe Dan James would be coming on here. I thought he was warming up, and then all of a sudden we have the injury sub for Telles again. We need more subs in the EPL, but I'll let Jurgen Klopp troll journalists for that one. 85th minute, United on the break and looking dangerous. Rashford picks out Fred, who is offsides. Again, I thought Rashford should just put his laces behind this one.
Yeah, I think he's got a hard time sometimes switching off from playmaker to just goal scorer. And I think here he should just put his laces behind the boot and just get it on target and look for a deflection. But yeah, United, we're getting closer, at least pushing forward.
We were getting closer. The only comment here is everything was a little rash trying to force it. And it's like United of old. They would just hold the ball, wait for it, and then pick your spot. And I love how we're starting to get these crosses, sir. Cavani into Bruno, you know. Then we're going to talk about the 92nd minute. But first, in the 91st, Bruno tried to chip the keeper, trying to become a United legend.
Love
it. You know you need one of those to become a United great. So Bruno trying to chip him.
Yeah, I was saying he already is United legend, but he's got some of those goals in his locker. I'm sure he'll pull some out by the end of the season, sir. But there was magic left in this game.
Sir, look, by the way, we watched the whole game on Telemundo. Great.
Highly recommend
watching on Telemundo. You don't need to hear anything. I'm sure the halftime talk from Tim Howard was a delight that we missed. So thank God. Telemundo for the win. Now you take a minute. Matador.
Caso el grupo H, el primero contra el segundo de la Champions. Viene la pelota, media altura, remata gol.
Sir, I could watch that all day. The Telemundo call, they do it right. they're not biased against Manchester United. I absolutely love the silky Spanish call.
So they respect Manchester United. They say Manchester United every time they say the name. And that goal, I'll raise you one poacher, veteran striker goal, and there's another one, right? Because that goal is another non-gimme. He, like, puts his head on it,
what a
does
goal.
Everything. Those are two unbelievable finishes from Edinson Cavani in 16 minutes of time that wins the game. So, whoo, he looks a top player.
No, and inject that into my veins. As a Manchester United fan, you live winning a game like this, sir. I'm watching this game again today.
Whole thing.
Sir, the whole thing is going to be great. I get Telemundo calls all day. Like, gold, El Manchester United. This is what dreams are made of. We talk about the highs. We talk about the lows. And this is one of those highs. Edinson Cavani, what a win.
Sir, what's the Chelsea spurt? It's still 0-0. Like full time 0-0. Even better day. You're right. It's the feels. It's like you are a Manchester United fan, so you can win at the death. So you can win it fighting back. And this team is showing a lot of fight. I know we shouldn't have to go down so often to show the fight back, but we are showing resiliency. Ole is showing that he can make an impact during the game with subs. And the players are showing the big type mentality. Like, even if it's not Bruno, it's going to be Cavani. And there's going to be other players willing to step up and carry the burden.
But look what that means to Cavani. You know, he's been fighting injuries. PSG takes a punt on United. Everyone's saying it's for the money. Does he have it? He comes on, instant impact. And you saw the skill. I just hope this man stays healthy, because you saw what it meant to him to score these goals. The passion, the matador, that's what we need. He might not speak a lot of English, but you know, you could be a leader on the pitch. And seeing him come in and take him and Bruno together, taking this game by the scruff of the neck and winning for United. Look, this is, imagine the dressing room after this. PSG, who are you? They're coming to our house. We're going to smoke them. I mean, like, this is the vibe you need to go on a run, to kick on 9 games in December, a tough fixture, tough list of fixtures, and we need to be coming at them like exactly the way we did this. Cavani probably starting number 9 right now.
No doubt, bro. You got to be bullying teams like Manchester United used to bully teams. And we went down to the South Coast, and we brought in our Uruguayan matador to just bully 3 points out of them, because Southampton, they were in for a fight all day. They were chipping at every tackle. John Moss didn't pull a card out until the second half. But a huge 3 points against a good team. And United, PSG, baby, midweek, never stops.
Match reaction, possession 50-50. How many times have you heard that on the podcast? Never. Shots on target, United 6 to Southampton's 5. Corners 9-5, fouls 12-11. Again, it was right down the middle, and United pip them at the death. Manchester United, the first team in Premier League history to win 4 consecutive away games despite trailing in each of them.
Yeah, boy.
Manchester United have now won 8 consecutive Premier League away games for the first time in club history. Edinson Cavani is only the second Manchester United player to be involved in 3 or more goals in a Premier League game as a substitute. 2 goals, 1 assist after Ole Gunnar Solskjaer against Nottingham Forest in February 1999.
5 goals, Mr.
Ole. Special season. Edinson Cavani is only the second player to both score and assist a goal after coming on as a substitute in an away Premier League match for Manchester United after Ruud van Nistelrooy against Charlton in September 2002. And it was a different game back then. Manchester United came from behind to beat Southampton for the 10th time in the Premier League. Only Manchester United themselves have won as many from behind against an opponent in the competition, 10 versus Newcastle. And Bruno Fernandes is the 4th Manchester United player to score in 5 consecutive away games in the Premier League after Ruud van Nistelrooy, Robin van Persie, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Dude, Bruno, put some respect on that man's name.
And those guys were all strikers. And he's the number 10. So Bruno Fernandes playing just absolutely lights out. A lot more than a penalty merchant, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely, sir. What do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
He's a keeper who's been used to being vocal. He wants to organize his team. He had a couple of like tidy saves. He didn't have big saves to make, but he was safe with his hands. And the first 10 minutes, second half, I thought we were really all over the place. And after that, we played well again.
Within the moments where you could have had goals in the first half, especially the chances that you missed, how do you look back on those moments?
It's one of those that when you win, they don't really matter, but it's one of them. I was thinking at the end, 2 each. So proud the way they played, even if second half, the last half an hour, fantastic. All the chances we create, sometimes the keeper gets the better of you.
I've never seen someone take so long to put his boots on, Edison Cavani. He obviously made up for it. What did you make of that?
He probably wasn't able to warm up on the pitch, and then suddenly when he realised that he needed bigger studs, and I'm happy he did.
I suppose you can forgive after that performance.
I don't know. I think he might have to learn on that one. You know, as a sub, you've always got to be ready. I know more than anyone about that.
We talked about the record pre-match as well. Not that records necessarily mean the world, but it's 8 wins on the road now, a record for the club.
Yeah, no, it hasn't crossed my mind at all. It's when you said it now, yeah, it's one of those things that you look back on later on, but this team is just getting better and better and improving, and that's what I want to see.
And to fight back from 2 goals down especially, and to win in a game against a very, very good Southampton side, is that the...
Sorry, sir.
I think towards the end you can see that we could still keep going, and that's important in a season. We've lost out on pre-season this season, so we've lost out on a few points earlier on because we haven't been fit, but now we're looking stronger.
Well done, Ollie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Look, you heard it right from Ole, Mr. Nice Guy. United getting better and better, sir. I mean, 3 on the jump.
Big wins, important wins, and speaking of important wins, sir, we got a pretty big one coming up midweek. But this is, you know, I like to see a little bit of swagger in Ole's face, right? You saw it answering those questions, like, this team's only going to get better. And started the season difficult, right? No preseason, dropped a lot of points. He sure got a lot of shit, right? Here's that excuse factor, chugga. And that noise, baby. Let's go make it all happen. Get that win.
Sir, you hear that in the distance?
Sir, Sunday, baby.
Building. Angelic voices, Manchester United versus PSG, Old Trafford, the revenge game. We need to take it to them Wednesday, December 2nd, noon Pacific, sir. What a game to start our crazy December fixture list against none other than PSG. That's right. Last time we played PSG at Old Trafford in the Champions League, we were there, sir. We go to Bishop's Blaze, I think at noon. The game kicked off at 8, sir. Quite a few dark ales.
Quite
singing,
a few.
Losing our voices. Tough match. United lose 2-0 at home. But since then, we've pipped them in their house twice. Obviously, everyone remembers a 3-1 at the Parc des Princes. And then the 2-1 at the Parc des Princes this year. Marcus Rashford with an amazing goal. We got to beat them at home, sir. We beat them at home. We pretty much clinched the group. A draw would even do it. Big game. How you feeling?
No, I think you need the win. I think it just sets the precedent. We were the team that everyone was saying probably wouldn't make it out of the group. Then you get the big wins against PSG and RB to start, drop against Istanbul. Then you get a win. I think getting another win against PSG at home. PSG have been dropping, bro. They are not the team that they were at the end of last year. A lot of injuries. They have players with COVID, and they have bad form in the league. We got to smoke them at home, get an important win at home, right? Because they have a little bit of our number. They came in OT and bossed us around. Did not go the way we wanted it to. So get the win, and then it's a big month, like you said. There's so many games, and we need to get streaky, and Ole is streaky.
No, absolutely. I think PSG is there for the taking. Thomas Tuchel, his job, the PSG manager, is up for grabs, really. It's kind of one of those scenarios like at Spurs where everything went wrong for Poch after he went to the Champions League final and lost. I think PSG going to the Champions League final, losing to Bayern Munich last year. Now Mbappe probably going to leave. Neymar probably going to leave. Tuchel getting some criticism, sir. They've only won two of their last five. They lost to RB Leipzig and Monaco. They just drew Bordeaux yesterday. I didn't look at who they put out, but I'm sure it was just a joke of a side. Regardless, they're there for the taking. You know, Draxler, Bernat, they are on the injury list. They shouldn't feature for PSG. They seem kind of like a shadow of themselves when they came into Old Trafford last year.
Well, they're a soft side. They're a soft club. You know, it's like the whole team is made out of softies. So obviously they get as close as possible to the greatest prize in club football and then lose it. You know, do they have the resiliency to kick on from there and try and win the next one? Or they just become a bunch of baby bitches, which they've always been. Sir, what do you expect? I'd love to knock PSG out now and then have them kind of have to go fight to RB Leipzig for a win. Or maybe if they go to Istanbul for the win. But whatever it is, I want to get a win against PSG. We got bad blood with the fans, sir. We got bad blood with a lot of their players, Di Maria. So a big win would start the month off right and keep this Southampton momentum going, bro. Because you get knocked back down to earth, and all of a sudden the West Ham game, which is going to be tricky always, because West Ham is always tricky, especially first game with fans. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yep.
But, yes, sir. I think they are there for the taking, and we should take them. And we can't let up at all. We have to take our chances, because when they come, we got to finish.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talked about how much we hate PSG. People say, why do you hate PSG? We got a lot of, hey, guys, easy with all the hating on the other clubs. Well, you know, Manchester United hated it, or never ignored, sir. I mean, we didn't even talk about it in the prior match with Southampton. It's like we have a text thread with our friends, Chelsea fans, we got Arsenal fans, we got Everton fans, tons of different fans on this thread, and everyone's throwing mud. And it's like the hyenas are waiting for United to lose against Southampton. And when we win, just the vitriol, you know, we just send a photo of us smiling, sir, but then the vitriol we get back. Everyone hates United. Everyone wants to beat United. I think PSG are in the same vein here. When we saw them Old Trafford, so the fans, they were throwing drinks on the disabled section at Old Trafford.
No, it was
absolutely terrible. Like we hate them because we went to this match. We saw them. We saw how they acted. The fans, especially, and I think they're tough guys wearing Burberry fur coats. You know, it's just not a good look.
So they're the Chelsea fans of France. We've talked about this a lot. They're low class. They're low class, and it's a shit club. It's a shit club, and it's got shit fans, and that's all that is. We don't need to talk about it.
Qatar.
But they were literally like throwing, exactly, they threw freaking bottles at the disabled crowd at Old Trafford, bro, and then they lose at home 3-1.
Shame on Ed Woodward for putting the away section right on top of them. It was like the most hostile thing I've ever seen. We were in the Stratford End across the way. It was just a complete nightmare, but again, the PSG fans didn't help anything. It was a tough one, a tough pill to swallow, and that's why we always want to beat them, sir. Also, PSG, a little history here. There is no history. Paris Saint-Germain Football Club was founded on August 12, 1970, after the merger of Paris Football Club and Stade Saint-Germain. PSG, when they were found, they actually won promotion to League One, claiming the League Two title in their first season when they were founded. In the 1990s, they had their best sort of era. They claimed their second league crown, 3 French Cups, 2 League Cups, 2 French Super Cups. Love to know what a French Super Cup is. And most notably, the UEFA Cup Winners' Cup in 1996. Then they kind of had some financial calamities, and then they were bought by Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani. The ruler of Qatar owns PSG through a state-owned shareholding organization, Qatar Sports Investment, QSI, when they purchased them in 2011. The takeover made PSG the richest club in France and one of the wealthiest in the world. And of course, the same thing with City. They overvalued their sponsorship rights, financial fair play, and they never had to pay for it at all whatsoever. But ironically, earlier this year, the president, who, you know, is the face of PSG, basically Nasser Al-Khelaifi, he was charged in a FIFA bribery scandal. Swiss federal prosecutors have charged Paris Saint-Germain president Nasser Al-Khelaifi in connection with a bribery investigation linked to the World Cup television rights. So you know it. We don't like their fans. We don't like their owners, sir. They're bribing people. World Cup, yada, yada, yada. You know they're not good. They got Neymar rolling around. They got Di Maria the snake. time to be PSG.
The worst of football, sir. It's the worst of football. And they have, you won a title, never won a title. So they never won a Champions League, bro. The whole thing is like, they literally are a farmer's league. It's like being the best football team in Canada. And they're like really proud of that. And then you go to play in the Super Bowl and you get like smoked every year. So
apologies to our Canadian listeners.
Yeah, we love the Canadians, but you know what I mean? It's like, you know, Americans showing them trying to play hockey in Canada. They know it. They're better at us hockey. We're better than them in American football. It's no big deal. But that being said, it's like, I love that they never won a Champions League. I hope they never do win a Champions League. And everything about an oil-rich nation that like commits endless human rights abuses, owning a football team to basically boost their status globally, it's not good for the game. You know, it happens with City. It's the same shit with City. In many ways, the same thing with Chelsea. He's just like a Russian gangster that also owns a team. So it's not good for football.
Hey, you know, Daniel Levy doing it right. What do you say? No. Physioroom.com. Let's check it with the injuries for Manchester United. They're starting to pile up. Luke Shaw, thigh injury, mid-December. Pogba, foot injury, playing basketball. Now he's marked to come back, what, February, sir? No, early December. Sorry. This is the English date format. I get it mixed up. So Pogba could be available for this match. Game to game on Paul Pogba. Jesse Lingard, he was exposed to COVID. Same thing. Scott McTominay, little knock. Same thing. He could be available. So Pogba, Jesse, and McTominay, and Martial, who had an illness, all could be available for PSG. De Gea, he had a knock. No update there. And Bailly, no return date, unfortunately, for him. Given those injuries, sir, a few. Shaw, Bailly, and De Gea, those are the big ones. What is your lineup for PSG?
Telles is going to be the one that's going to be important too, because he came off early, looked like an injury, groin injury. So if he's not available, you know, he played so well in the first game against PSG in the wingback position that he would be a big loss, obviously, especially with Shaw. So here's my starting 11, sir. I got Hendo and Net back five, and it's going to be AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, Bailly, Williams, and then a midfield of Fred, McTominay, Bruno, Martial, Rashford.
Bailly's out long term.
Bailly's out long term, and Twanzabi's injured, and Shaw's injured, so there's no one else.
Twanzabi's not injured.
He can't play because he had a yellow card, so he's unavailable.
Twanzabi's unavailable? Okay. You want to... Bailly, I saw him in training. He could be available. I mean, this is physioroom.com, so this might be a little dated, sir. I'm going to say the same thing. Except I'm going to put Telles in, back three, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Bailly, Maguire, Lindelof, Telles, Fred, McTominay, Bruno, Rashford, Martial. I want to see Rashford and Martial in the two.
Yep.
Bruno behind them and then Fred, McTominay. I think you got to kind of play conservative. I like the back three. It messed him up last time. Clearly, if Telles is not available, I think you put Williams in there like for like. Hopefully this messes PSG up because they couldn't deal with it last time.
No, I like the counter. I think Cavani is like, if you need a goal and you're going to take it to him, he doesn't necessarily have the pace on the break where they're obviously vulnerable. But Martial and Greenwood or Martial and Rashford have so much pace that you could take it, you know, get it into open pockets like we did the first time around. Sir, anything's possible.
No, absolutely. And you are correct. Twanzabi has been ruled out of the match.
He got a quick yellow in the Istanbul game, there, which is a bummer, right?
Yep. Booking the bookies. The odds here, Manchester United are the underdogs at home against PSG, plus 188. The draw, plus 240. PSG, plus 145. As far as first-time goal scorer for United, Fernandes, plus 500. Cavani, plus 550. Agallo, plus 650. Rashford, plus 750. Martial, plus 800. I think Martial, with that illness, that's why he's kind of up there. Or maybe he's out of form, sir. Given those are the odds from the bookmakers, what is your score prediction? PSG at Old Trafford, big match.
It's going to be a tight one. 1-0. I think Cavani comes off the bench to get a goal against his old team, rubs it in their face. Maybe Neymar cries for a bonus. What do you got?
Sir, I'm going to say 2-2. I'm going to say it's a draw. Maybe United give it up 2-1, then they give it up. We'll get the draw. I think that'll be good enough for us in the group. But again, I think we were lucky getting that Rashford go-ahead goal. I think a draw. I think these teams are kind of like, you know, we can nullify it. I also think Ole isn't going to be that aggressive in this game, given kind of where things are in the Champions League at the moment. Sir, United in the news. Exclusive here from the Mail, Daily Mail. Manchester United face $15 million fine if they pay hackers holding them to ransom as club. call in experts to try to fight off the virus crippling their systems, and a further $18 million charge arrives if fan data protection is breached. Clearly, the Daily Mail knows how to talk something up, but the hack we talked about before, where we didn't say we didn't really know, it was just the blog. We thought someone just hacked their blog. Obviously, your blog server would be more vulnerable than all your fan data, but it turns out they hacked everything. Manchester United's fan data, their scouting data, their data on data is hacked and held for ransom. What a riot.
What a club.
What a riot.
I mean, you read that headline, it's like, fight off the virus crippling their systems. I believe that's called the Glazer family. That's just been like sucking every drop of blood out of this stone the last 20 years, nearly. So this is, I mean, we said it in the Patreon's grab bag. It's like a poorly run club is hacked. You know, like the top club, most important club in Europe, excuse me, in England, arguably one of the greatest clubs in Europe, like, should not be being hacked. It's like a multi-billion dollar corporation. You know, you would imagine that someone's getting hired and paid a lot of money to make sure they aren't hacked. So this is just kind of like Bush League stuff.
No, but the way, you know, the Glazers run this club is, you know, the app is outsourced, their website's outsourced, everything's kind of like turn on, turn off. Like, they don't have, they clearly have an IT team, but you can only imagine the technology they have running season tickets and then running their website and then everything. Their infrastructure's all over the place. And this is 2020. Manchester United are content, you know, business first, and the technology is going to enable and then disseminate that content. That all needs to be in-house. You need to be putting a lot of R&D into it. There needs to be security, needs to be a priority. Clearly, the way this club is being run is just chop and shop, like you always talk about, and this is why they got hacked. So there's, it's just a complete nightmare. I can only imagine the IT guys at United. Essentially, what someone does when they compromise like something like this, they'll literally get access to it probably months ago, and then they basically take all the data and they lock United out. So United would have like their entire season ticket holder database, like the way they email everyone.
I can't sell tickets.
For tickets is like locked, and they can't get access to it until they pay somebody for it. Also, they should have redundant systems, right? They should have, so this can't happen, but it did happen. So clearly they don't have redundant systems. Their entire scouting infrastructure was hacked and they're locked out. So right now United has no access to players that they've been scouting for January transfer window. They don't have access to season ticket holder data. Our credit card information as well is in the hands of these hackers, if you, in case you're wondering. And so this is a complete nightmare. And it comes to one man, sir. You run a company, you're the president of the company, and you mess up, this is a fireable offense. Almost running out of money is a fireable offense. Then you add this on top of it. Ed Woodward, what is he being paid to do? It's unbelievable. This club is under his stewardship. It's 2020. Like I said, technology is the thing. You should make sure that you're not this vulnerable. Clearly they were, and there's no excuse. The man at the top pays the price, sir. Heavy, heavy weighs the crown. Ed Woodward, he's got to go down.
Well, he's got to go, but it's the family at the top, bro. It's like, that's the reason that he hasn't gotten fired. The dividend's not being canceled. The January dividend is going forward as planned, bro. Cash is like...
No, but this, like the stadium falling apart. Yeah. Like if you're going to run... like
no DOF.
Ed Woodward, no DOF. The president of the team could be like, hey, we need a director of football. I'm the president. Right. We need a director of football. Hey, I'm the president. We need to invest in our technology infrastructure and make sure we can't get hacked. Hey, I'm running this company. I can tell the board what to do. Yes, the board can screw you over, but trust me, Ed Woodward is not an expert. He's an investment banker. He is no expert in running an actual company, and this is why. He's basically running a financial vehicle for the Glazers, and everything else is falling apart at the seams. Like, the metaphor is the stadium. You look at the website, all this stuff, it's a complete nightmare. And seeing this is just like, it's a joke, and it's sad, because I'm sure they try to hack other teams, and they can't.
Well, that's why it's, you know, that's why he hasn't been fired yet, because his job is to transfer as much money out of this club to this fucking family as possible, and they've done it. They've taken so much cash out already. There's not much left. You know, this stone's been bled to the end of it, and he's still around. The club is like gonna run out of cash, maybe go bankrupt. We're not going to, right? Because you can always raise more money if they can give up a little equity, which I'm sure they don't want to. But it's sad because we love this club. So many fans love this club, and some like dirtbag family is just like, ha, 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 like laughing it up over Thanksgiving about all these like fans still going out of their way to pay them for season tickets and, you know, for Chevrolet jerseys and for MUTV subscriptions and the like. And they don't care, bro. And this club should be we should be competing for titles. We talk about it a lot, but it also should just be well run. You know, it's a business.
That horse is getting beat, like we talked about in the review. Again, I'm just talking about the Hackers. This can't happen. And for someone to think that this is something that can happen, or like, whoops, no, this should never happen with United. It's just a fact how this club is run. Poor management from the top down, like you said. And this is a very serious thing. Like, United have to pay, or have to pay the ransom to get the data back. I mean, ideally, you don't want to pay the ransom. You want to be able to gain access to it on your own. But, you know, they're bringing in experts, and I'm sure Ed Woodward's just sweating. And the joke is becoming more of a joke. But while this, the infrastructure of this club might be a joke, the results on the pitch, the manager fighting for the badge, I mean, you love to see it today. So, you know, it couldn't be complete opposites, right? What's what we see on the pitch and off of it. So as long as we're winning, as long as if Edward was sweating about getting hacked, I don't really care.
Yeah, but you know, Ole is going to be the man that if they lose form, right? You lose to West Ham, you lose to PSG, it's his head that's on the line. He hasn't been backed. He works for a club that's obviously run by a bunch of numpties. It's good. They're winning, but you know, you lose and it's all the manager's fault. And there's your £18 million that you can maybe use for a right winger, and instead it's getting spent to a bunch of hackers,
sir,
from an unknown country origin.
Sir, Palestri.
Yeah. First team signing.
Yeah, Palestri, first team signing. That's another metaphor. Remember when Ed Woodward marketed Palestri as a first team signing? Yeah, we'll see.
Well, we knew better.
Look, I like Palestri, but he's U23, but Ed Woodward marketing him like he's the right winger, like Sancho, is just absolutely insane. Manchester United is deep in interest. Speaking of insane, next bit of news, Manchester Evening News. Manchester United deep in interest in FC Barcelona star Ousmane Dembele. Apparently, we want to sign him next year. United considered a move, obviously, last summer. This just seems like regurgitating old news for the sake of it. If we only have £58 million on the balance sheet, got to pay some hackers, no fans in stands. Where's the money going to come from to sign Dembele unless it's a loan?
That's why it's included. There is apparently a loan link for January, which actually would make sense. We're not paying for Sancho. There's no rumors of that. But broke-ass Manchester United could do a loan deal. It's working off thus far. Well, it's not a loan deal, Cavani, but as a free. But the same idea is like, you get a loan for Dembele, see if it works out. We're obviously not buying anybody. We do have Diallo joining in January, but he's also a U23. It's like he's not ready to start week in, week out.
No, I mean, you're right. But I don't know. I think Diallo might. I think he'll be a bench player at least.
He's more ready than Facundo because he's got a little bit more pace and he's been playing more. But that being said, it's like they're both young and they need not to be rushed because look what happens with Mason Greenwood. He's young, 19. We can't expect him to start week in, week out because he's 19. And like that's part of the game is that you have to build into consistency.
No, absolutely. Next bit of news, sad bit of news here. Seems like there have been some sad bits of news lately. It's 2020 after all. Diego Maradona sadly passed away in Argentina at the age of 60. The Argentinian legend, sir, everyone knows Maradona, hand of God, sir. Even England won't let that go. They're still putting on the papers. Pretty much one of the greatest of all time. I mean, there's a few goats on Mount Rushmore. I think Maradona is one of them. Pele is one of them. I think Ronaldo is going to be chiseled in soon. Probably both Ronaldos. You know, there is a handful at the top, the tippity top of the mountain. And Diego Maradona, I think he's at the top. He's probably the greatest of all time.
I mean, he's up there. For that era, it was either him, Pele, or you know, our man George Best, I think, in like running of the greats. But certainly Pele, Maradona in world football as like, you know, the pre-2000 elite of the elite. So he is a legend. He will be missed, personality on and off the pitch. As we were talking about the Netflix special.
Sir, if you haven't seen it, Maradona in Mexico on Netflix. I watched it last year.
Worth a watch.
It's absolutely amazing. If you want to get an idea, obviously, you know who Diego, you can see the highlights of him on the pitch, the highlights, everything. But watching the behind-the-scenes documentary of him managing a League 2 side in Mexico really shows you who the man is. So a really big heart. You know, obviously the tragedy of sort of drug addiction. But, you know, he's just a great, you see him like, he lives for football. It's absolutely amazing. You got to watch it. Maradona in Mexico. Highly recommend it. Netflix.
And a fan of the game, you know. It was nice to see a lot of the United players, former United players, with the photos of Maradona visiting training ground in 08, and then he came back in 11 and 12, you know, the De Gea and Mata and RVP and Rio, and it's like he was a fan of the game, and at that time, United were top dog, one of the top dogs in the game, so he respected that coming, and it'll be missed, you know, because big personalities, they are an entryway to the past, and we should not forget like these great icons of the past. So we lost a lot, you know, we're losing a lot of, we lost Styles last week, we lost Maradona this week. 2020 has been a tough year, and he's one of the greats, Maradona.
Also, he used to wear like the double watches, like, you know, like the double $1 million watches on each wrist, just because it's just like, yeah, I just got to show my bling double. Like, he's just like everything about World Cup, just like losing it in the stands at the World Cup. And to win the World Cup in the time he did, you really think of like in world football, that was the competition, that was a trophy. And then to the point, he was like a Messi when the rules were even more against small players. They were fouling him. They were coming in. It was so much more physical to do what he did on the quality of pitches he did. I mean, he grew up playing in the dirt, sir. What a legend. Diego Maradona. I watched that Netflix show, sir. It's absolutely priceless.
No, and he put a team on his shoulder, right? You know, all, like you said, all the English rags and a lot of the English fans, they'll whinge about the hand of God, but he took that team on his back, and like he got the shit fouled about it. If that game was in 2020, a lot of those English players probably would have been sent off for elbowing him in the face and neck. So just a true legend and an absolute player that will be missed, like a lot of greats that we lost this year.
And rightfully so. They've been doing the tributes pre-match this weekend. Fan questions, sir. We got a lot of hot banter. Thank you for everyone tweeting us here on the podcast. First and foremost, at Boham Boy for Life, Devin, quote, "That's the United I fell in love with. Started off shaking the first half, but Ole got his tactics and changes spot on. Time to use this momentum to get through the December fixtures." Absolutely, Devin. It's a tight fixture list in December. 9 matches, sir. 4:30 a.m. Boxing Day. Woo!
It's good. I mean, we lucked out other than the Boxing Day that just came out. But it's important to galvanize the team around this result. And then you're going into a massive game, PSG at home, sir. You win there, and then it's just gobble, gobble, gobble.
Here we go. PSG at home, West Ham away, RB Leipzig away, City at home, Sheffield United away, Leeds at home, Everton away, Leicester away, Wolves at home, and the Leicester's at 4:30 throwing in there.
Sorry, if we get through that run, we're legit. I mean, that's like you're gonna know by Christmas, by New Year's, whether this team has staying power.
And Sheffield, Leeds, West Ham, those are the easy ones of 9. So I mean, those other ones are the derby, sir.
It's like the whole like City, Leeds, Everton, Wolves, Leicester. Like you don't get a break, and those are all top teams.
Sir, we're gonna know December 8th, where we are in the Champions, if we're in the Champions League. It's crazy. It's just like, this is so many cards turning over. Fit and fire in December, big time. At Burkett Mets, next tweet, quote, "Better team throughout and deserved to win. Should have taken our chances in the first half, and the game never would have been in doubt. Let's qualify for the Champions League this week. # glory, glory. Man United, love it." At the Alex Davis 33, "Edison Cavani has already made his transfer worth it. I want him starting ASAP. Huge 3 points. Now let's see if the people who blame the manager for individual errors in the first half credit him for the subs and tactics in the second." Mike HULG is in tears. Hope this helps, sir. Twitter banter.
No, I mean, he won't get credit. Ole doesn't get credit. United, it's only like, you know, we won in spite of ourselves, but that's it. It's United against the world. Nothing's changed. And I think Edinson Cavani gets that. He's like, come at me, bro. Let's keep winning.
At BryGuy666, that's it. That's my take, lads. 3 big points, and he shows the Edison Cavani pulling the arrow out of the quiver, firing it. Love the celebration from El Matador.
Dude, a nose for goal. They say it, a nose for goal. Those last two goals, the equalizer and the winner, those are like, just like, you cannot be stopped. Hold me back. I am a competitor. I am a winner. And Cavani's got it. He like comes and brings that edge in, and Bruno needed someone else to kind of complement that attitude, which is just like never stop, always push everybody. And those two are starting to jive off each other, so that's exciting.
Rolling deep, 1995. One day I'm going to die of a heart attack because of this team.
Yeah, I
echo that. What a nervy win. What a character. What class. Comeback Kings, Manchester United. Glory, glory. Man United, love it. At Michael 72. Quote, "This game shows just how much Ole has grown as a manager. He kept calm and made adjustments to give United a chance in the second half. Brilliant managing, and the team responded. Huge 3 points. Need Cavani to start against PSG and bag a brace to lead us to the knockouts." I mean, I totally agree. We need to capture this momentum onto PSG. At Jamal Mota, quote, "They effed it up 2-0. A tale of two halves. Classic United comeback in stoppage time. Cavani earning that number 7 shirt. But how do we go down 2 when we were bossing most of the first half? We need to be more clinical finishing. They missed too many sitters. Ole still has some work to do, sir. What do you make?
No, I mean, I think we have to finish our chances. Like, that's going to be a thing that the top teams, they learn how to do. So if we keep ruining chances, we're not going to accomplish much this season. But I like what this team showed. De Gea, he had to get yanked, and Ole showing those big stones that maybe we didn't see a year and a half ago, that he's showing, like, I got nothing to lose. I got my job's always on the line. You lose a game, Manchester United talking about getting the sack. So I like that he pulled De Gea, put in Cavani, and those made the difference.
And I noted all on the same vein, sir. Quote, Ole deserves a ton of credit for this one. To have the cojones to pull De Gea at halftime. Huge total statement performance for Ole and Cavani. Katie M. Anderson on Twitter, absolutely loving it. What a comeback. Mood is ecstatic. At Calizona Cat, we're all moving to Uruguay. Sir, you love Uruguay. You're a fan.
Great country, great people, great beef. What's not to like? We got our El Matador linking up with El Pastor and El General, who is Bruno Fernandez, just like pulling the strings.
At you boasting a big win and a big second half. You just love to see it. Ole's diamond trademark working this second half with Cavani coming on and a well-deserved win in the end. A couple of players look desperately tired and we need a break in the coming weeks. Unfortunately, it's not coming.
There's no break. I mean, maybe they'll give us 5 subs in the next couple of weeks, but because that change is needed.
All right, we'll finish on this one. At United Dondo, quote, Ole finally seemed to get his subs right today. The game was a microcosm for his time in charge. Really bad at times, amazing at others. How do we find consistency?
Well, I'm of the opinion that it ain't how you start, it's how you finish, right? Whether it's a season or a game. And I agree. Consistency is a problem. I think it's because the players, we have some young players. And today, one of our more senior players, right? Probably, I think he's the third oldest in De Gea. He didn't have a game. And like the first goal, you know, he shouldn't have let it in. Then his confidence was shot. And then United blew chances where it should have been 2-2, arguably, in the first half. So I don't know, man. It's been the issue, and it'll probably be the issue if we drop points between now and New Year's. We will let up. We'll not take our chances or whatever, give up shit goals. But that's the mark of a young team and a young manager with a young side. So as long as, like, directionally we're getting better, and we have been, the state of play, the moments we've seen under Ole, especially in this last 6-12 months, have been much better than anything since Fergie, I'm encouraged.
No, and I totally agree. And, you know, how do you find consistency is you build on performances like this. Yeah. Look, you're always going to face adversity. But United teams that face adversity and then they know they can come back, they think about that, they overcome it, and then they can apply that going forward. United always had to come back. We always had nervy wins because there's so many. The fixtures are insane, and even this year, it's even more insane. So to say you need to be consistent when you have injuries, you're playing, like, the amount of fixtures is absolutely crazy. To be able to pull these out, they need to rely on rotation. Ole is getting better on the job. The players are getting better on the job. And it's about just improving and learning from each experience because we didn't hang our heads. We made the right adjustments and we came back. And we need to be doing that more, sir. Again, it's Manchester United. It's a results-based game, sir. 20 titles. Are you kidding me? We need to be winning, son. We need to be winning. We need to move up that table, sir. We don't check it till Boxing Day at 4:30 a.m. Maybe 6:30 a.m. We're going to check it on Boxing Day.
We'll check it after the results, sir. Who are we playing that day? Leicester, bright and early?
Leicester. Oh, my God. What a pod. What a day. 6 a.m., sir. Pod never sleeps. That's how we do. America Devils for fans, by fans. You want to support us, check out Patreon. Join one of our Patreon tiers. We have exclusive content there, uploading our first exclusive Patreon podcast. Also, we have our online store, www.americadevils.com. Click on store, check out our merch, shirts, scarves, the whole lot, sir. Our new logo sticker. Write a review on iTunes. We've had some amazing downloads last 7 days. Give us these cities, sir.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Lee Summit, Missouri. Appreciate you guys back at the top of the list. Midlothian, Virginia. Hamburg, Germany. Appreciate you. Calabasas, California. Morganville, New Jersey at 5. Waco, Texas. Dong Hai, Vietnam at number 7. Chicago, Illinois. San Francisco, California, and last but not least, Mansfield, Ohio. Appreciate all the downloads. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening in, week out, around the globe, sir. Let the good times keep rolling. We got a lot of important fixtures coming thick and fast.
Sir, it's not quite always at the wheel time. We beat PSG. He's at the wheel. Look, let's pick it up midweek. Pod never sleeps. Everyone have a great week. Absolutely buzzing from this result, sir. As always.
Kicking a blue. The one we got most is kicking a blue.